consider and take possible action on request from the Superior Court to determine whether anticipated furloughs are a reduction in compensation for retirement purposes. Harvey? Aaron?
Hi, I hear you.
You want to tell
them? I had the same reaction.
There should be a representative from the court here. There they are. Thank you for coming. The board may have questions specifically about the furlough program and what you've negotiated, but I'd like to start out with the statutory framework that we are operating under here. We received a request from the court who is looking at some furloughs in the future. For the board to make a determination about what impact those furloughs may have on compensation earnable, compensation for retirement purposes, as well as the retirement contributions that are going to be collected. So how the furloughs work is it's essentially a reduction in services. For example, there might be a closure day where the staff doesn't work and doesn't get paid. So it's a reduction in pay and a reduction in hours. This really started in 2009 when several of our employers, including the county, looked at furloughs and came to us with this same question. And at that point, we had an analysis of the compensation earnable statute, which governs our system. That is referenced on page 2 of my memo. It is Government Code Section 31461, now sub A after AB 197. Didn't change the text of the statute, though. And the statute does allow for compensation earnable to essentially disregard a period of absence where somebody doesn't get paid. And so based on that wording of the statute, back in 2009, this board decided that when furloughs are temporary in nature, that is to be treated as an absence and therefore would not impact compensation earnable. So contributions are still being collected on that furlough, and if someone retires and picks that final average salary period where they didn't have some money, the furlough pay cut, we do include that in their compensation earnable. Now we're operating under an additional statute as well. It's the PEPRA statute, and that governs PEPRA employees. And the court probably has a few PEPRA employees at this point, and probably a majority of legacy members. And the PEPRA statute is very different. It does not read like the compensation earnable statute. We have that for you on page 2 of the memo at the bottom. That's Government Code Section 7522.43, subdivision A. It does not have that provision about an absence essentially being disregarded. So we think that under that statute for PEPRA members, we can't ignore the furloughs. They're pay reduction, and we can't collect contributions on that pay reduction, and we will not be counting it in compensation for retirement purposes for PEPRA members. But back to the legacy members, because those are the majority of the employees that the court has, the question for the board is, with the anticipated round of furloughs for the court, do you view that as a temporary absence or not? We laid out the history of this. The court has had several furlough programs since 2009, and in the letter that we received from the court, they do explain that in some situations the furloughs that were planned and negotiated then were reduced, and I believe they said that if they receive additional funding, even with a future wave of furloughs, they might reduce those or eliminate those. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Okay, again, going to Scott's point here. This is for a 1-week period of time. the PEPR people aren't even vested, so by the time they retire, this hopefully would be moot because we will be moving on. So basically, it's going to only impact the legacy employees, and whether we consider, I read this over, but it's confusing, that 1 week we're being asked to say either that's a temporary absence or it's not. And if it's a temporary absence, we collect contributions for the plan, and if we say it's not temporary, and did I read also, it's just a one-time thing, or are they looking in the future to next year too?
They are looking at currently the 2013-2014 program, it says, was reduced from the 9 days to 4 days, and for the fiscal year of 2015-2016, they are anticipating 10 furlough days, and that's on page 2 of the letter from the court, third paragraph down.
And of those 10 days, they're spread over time.
And they are here.
Because I do have additional questions for staff. Because legacy employees, are they allowed to use their leaves to make up for that furlough time, such as if they have vacation?
No.
They're not. Okay.
It's just like the county's situation.
Well, we did allow some people to do that, and that's why I'm asking. Yeah, I don't think that's why furloughs didn't work out to be a good thing, is because people use leave balances.
Yeah. So I'm Stephen Nash. I'm the executive officer for the court, and Shannon Stone here is our director of HR for the court. I just wanted to give you a little background. So our current contract with our employees provided for 9 days, it was said, by furlough this year, and growing to 10 days next fiscal year. It was planned for 8 days. It was a three-year contract, 8 furlough days last fiscal year. They were able to cancel all of those furlough days. Our goal was to be able to cancel all of the ones that we currently have. But as many of you probably know, if you've looked at the newspapers, we have just been hammered by state cut after state cut after state cut. And so we were not able to cancel all the furlough days. So we ended up with 4 days. It becomes a week only because it's a holiday week. So we picked a week that would have the least impact on the public.
So it's 4 days, there'll be a furlough.
Right. The contract does provide for 10 furlough days next year. I can tell you I'm going to be doing everything in possible to continue to get more resources in the fight. Our goal is not to have any furlough days. I can't say that, you know, at this point we can't say that we're going to be able to cancel any of them. My goal is to cancel all of them. And then at that point, the contract's up, we are not going to be furloughing anymore. We are going to figure out what we need to do. But it's unfortunate that we just are, and just to give you an idea of what we've been facing, 5 years ago, we had 420 employees in the court. We now have 311 employees. So we had over a third more employees just 5 years ago than we have now. Workload hasn't gone away, folks, as I think you all know. And that's why we have lines, we have all these other things, and now we have to implement closure. But the one thing we don't want to further penalize our employees is then to have the retirement treated as if it's a permanent. It isn't a permanent. We're going to do all we can to not do any next year, but that's what we're presenting to you, and we're here for any questions.
Since you're doing at least for this year, all 4 furlough days in a single pay period, if we find that it is temporary and that it should be compensated, the employees are going to be liable for the contributions for those 4 days that they're not getting paid for. And for 4 days to fall within a single pay period can be quite impactful on some of your employees, I'm sure.
So what we've done, thank you for that question.
Yeah.
I should have explained that.
So you spread it out?
So it's spread out over the year. So yeah. Throughout the entire year, their paychecks are being reduced by, I don't know what,
it's about 1.5%.
Okay. And so it's the impact is spread out over the year.
And currently, the contributions that are being made is on the normal salary schedule, not on the
answers my question. That's a great question. I hadn't thought of that, and you're right. Since they're not getting the penalty over the whole period of time.
Just as a curiosity, let's say lightning strikes, and in December you can cancel those furlough days, but their pay's been reduced throughout the year. How is that going to be?
So the way that's not going to happen. The way we're funded, so we're funded by the state, and we've already got our allocation, and it's not going to change before December. And in fact, we're not going to get additional funds this fiscal year. We're hoping next fiscal year we get another adjustment, but we know what our money is this year. And so it's not going to happen. We would have looked at how would we, you know, credit back if that were a case, but it's not even a possibility.
Ryan?
Yeah, Rusty.
If they're paying the contribution based on the gross salary, how does that account for here in the system? When you're tracking this in the next year, this year, next fiscal year, looking at Vicki over here, are you recognizing as if they were paid the full salary, even though they aren't, mm-hmm. But because we're getting paid the gross, the contribution based on the gross? Okay, so if they're paying the contribution based on the gross salary, as if they were getting paid normal, all right, but in fact they're reduced it by 1.5%, whatever it is. On our side, in our accounting books, are we recognizing as if they were paid the full salary, or are we recognizing?
We're getting the full contribution.
We're getting paid the full contribution, so I mean, I'm not sure where the salary comes in on our accounting side. But
we have a fictitious salary for those 4 days.
Well, yeah, a fictitious salary for the entire year.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
The court, I guess the question is, what is the court reporting to us as far as a salary for individual employee A, B, C, D?
The salary schedule that gets shared with the CSERA is based on the gross salary.
The gross salary, okay.
And to a certain extent, the effect is similar to if somebody was on a leave of absence, right? Unpaid leave of absence. There wouldn't be a different schedule in terms of their retirement. If it was 4 days during the year, it was just 4 days of reduction in their pay, but they'd still be reflected in the process.
I move that we count this as a temporary absence.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah.
Well, on the case of legacy employees.
We have no authority.
Just come by the recommendation.
I personally don't think they're going to be impacted, because if they just got hired, they're not turning around to retire unless they, well, even if they transfer from another, this only impacts legacy and those getting ready to. And since they've made the contributions already based on their gross salary, not the 1.5% less, you know, and I'm happy to reconsider this next year if those 10 days stay in place, but I'm assuming you've already put, it smooths it, basically, for those who haven't been furloughed. It smooths it that the negative impact isn't hitting at one time.
Just to be clear to the courts, again, your gross salary is fair for the legacy employees. Report it that way to the system, but as far as the PECRA employees, you could not report the gross salary. You'd have to reflect the adjustment for the time. Mm-hmm. They're furloughed, correct?
They're only paying on their what they're taking.
Yes.
With their new gross minus X. You may need to check into that. Good
point. They're going to probably have to look into that. I
think we need to make an amendment that it's just for years 2014-15 and 2015-16.
And that's what's in the recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? There's a motion and a second, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Yay.
Motion carries.
We won't do it.
Get something done.
That's something.
Okay. That was a lot of material. This is an interesting story.
The people who are here for 12. They're not here. They're supposed to be here between 10 and 10:30, so I say just move on what we're going to do.
They're not
going to
come
in? Yeah.
Do you want to go in closed session?
Whatever you want to do. Fine.
How long do we need to
break? I think we need a break. We've been here since Mother Nature.
Okay, why don't we break until 11:15, and then we'll go into closed session for items 5 and 6.
Okay.
Unless there are there people here interested in 12, just in item 12? No? Okay.
One, this gentleman.
Okay.
12.